All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is the grandmother verse. Awesome. Grandparents verse right here. When I call to remembrance, verse 5, starting at verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think I said 1 Timothy, meant 2 Timothy chapter 1. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not you, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, not of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Right, Lord, we ask you to anoint this time, our ears to hear. Thank you for the power of the scriptures to settle us and strengthen us. Thank you for the body of Christ, for the church, Lord Jesus, the pillar and ground of the truth. We thank you for gathering us tonight. Lord, we just ask you to bless Pastor Shabelli as he preaches, leads us in this time to fellowship with you and to hear from you and to be built up in our most holy faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, you may be seated. You already are. I was thinking as they were singing one of those songs about Mark chapter 5 and how it's such a powerful portion of Scripture. And during this time, just think about healing. Not only can and does God heal, but God can prevent disease. Amen? 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 Amen. And it's really important to really believe. I know we believe that, but I want to believe that. And Mark 5, he cast 6,000 demons out of one man. That's unbelievable. My name is Legion, and we are many. Then a woman just touches the hem of his garment, and 12 years she had an issue of blood, and it dried up immediately. Demons out immediately, blood dries up immediately. And then Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead. I mean, demons, disease, and death. Jesus conquered it all. Amen? 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 Is there anything too difficult for God? There's the thing. And sometimes we come in, we're in this world and we hear so much in the air and so much on the news at times. And there's so many things that can be imparted. And before you know it, faith begins to wax, wane, and become very little. And yet I need to be reminded on a daily basis who God is and what God has done. And I know that he has touched people here in many miraculous ways down through the years. And I remember when the doctors told my wife that I had been 7 days unconscious from cerebral malaria, and it didn't look good. Not only was my hair gray, but my skin was gray. And yet God, I'm standing here because God what? God heals, amen? God delivers. And there's so many people that have had this happen to them in their lives, and we don't want to forget that in these days. And I really think that we can pray, even pray right now, God, I want you to keep all of us from this COVID thing. And if it is or does enter, you would deliver immediately, that you would touch each person, God, and protect. For you are a protector. You protect your people. You had them in Goshen for hundreds of years, protecting them from all the diseases of Egypt. We want to believe tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for our pastor, Pastor Schaller, and he'll be back for sure soon, I think Thursday. Is that tomorrow? That's tomorrow. Amazing. And we're going to have a great New Year's. New Year's night. This portion of scripture that Pastor Steve read, I want to talk tonight a little bit about God's provision, how God provides for us. And many times we kind of neglect that, and we can be in society, and there are some societies in this world that there's so much available, and it's almost as if the society itself or the world itself doesn't need a provision, or even Christians don't look for it. They're so used to being provided for by maybe providing for themselves or others providing for them or the system of this world providing for them that they neglect to see the hand of God in all of it. And I believe the hand of God can be in a country providing for people. I believe God's hand can be in us having a provision for health care, without a doubt. But ultimately, we must look to God and who he is. And so Paul is telling Timothy, this is Paul's last letter, not only to us, to the world, past, present, and future, but to Timothy. And he's going off the scene, and his time is very limited. And he wants him to know something. I love how he gave the illustration of your grandmother, was it Eunice, Lois, and Timothy, or Lois, Eunice, and Timothy? I forget. But he's showing the heritage of faith in the family and how God has provided for his grandmother and God has provided for his mother and God is going to provide for him and God is going to provide for all of his disciples. Hello? Are you with me tonight? You got me, Andrew? Yeah, you with me? God provides. He's Yahweh Jireh. Say that. Yahweh Jireh. That's Genesis 22. God will provide himself a lamb. You don't have to kill Isaac because I'm going to put the knife through my son thousands of years later on the very same spot that Isaac was going to be offered, Mount Moriah, which was Calvary. That's what he said. God will provide. It's in the capital letters in the Hebrew. God will provide himself the lamb. Pull the knife back. Don't kill Isaac. And really, when we think about the provision of God, think about the provision of God when you called upon the name of the Lord, you got saved and he gave you the person of the Holy Spirit. Do we think lightly of that sometimes? We just walk through life as if that's nothing. That can easily happen to me. I can become familiar with that. But what a provision. God has given me himself. Hello? He's given me himself. That's incredible. What a provision is given. So Paul wants Timothy to know, as I'm leaving, okay, as I'm going off the scene, I want you to realize that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. By the way, this fear is the word for timidity, a timid person, okay? God doesn't give fear. Hello? Hello? And we have it, but it comes from the old sin nature. The new man is not afraid. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
New man is not afraid. Not afraid. Yea, God is right. Not afraid. The old man fears. And he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear. By the way, we, and you remember the message, I think, from years ago. Let's live in what God has given. Don't live in what God hasn't given. That's a waste of time. It's a turmoil in a person's life. It can be extenuating and aggravating and wasting so much energy. But I want to live in what God has given. Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And by the way, Paul deals with three issues in Timothy's life in 2 Timothy 1. Read it sometime. Verse 7, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. That means he's not causing you to run away. Then he says, don't be ashamed. That's in verse 8, 12, and 16. What does it mean to be ashamed? The word in the Greek is you shrink from your position. You have shrinking thinking. We have that at times, don't we? When we face a big obstacle like Goliath. David didn't have shrinking thinking. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to take his head off, and I got 5 stones, and the other 4 are for his 4 brothers in case they try something. That's not shrinking thinking. Timothy could easily be ashamed. That's why Paul said it 3 times. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. And then Timothy could turn away. 2 Timothy 1:15. Everybody in Asia has turned away from me. Don't turn away. Imagine that. Run away, shrink away, turn away. He deals with all three of them in that chapter. And he's helping us to understand something that's incredible. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you his what? What has God given you? What are the three things? Huh? Power, love, and a sound mind. Everybody out here has got a sound mind, right? Anybody that's insane, see us after. Okay, we'll help you out by either, if you're not saved, leading you to Christ. If you are, helping you to know how to receive God's mind. But this is amazing. God's given him power, love, and a sound mind. What a provision from God. You can pastor. You can make it. Remember when Pastor, and I know you told, I've told the story, Pastor Stephen said to me, I think you've got to do more than evangelize. I think God's called you to pastor. And I said to him, I used to trust your discernment, but I don't anymore. I will never speak to people because I got all F's in speech all throughout college. I was going to be a teacher. I went to a teaching college, and then I realized I don't like talking to people. I'm afraid to talk to people. I'm intimidated. I'm ashamed. I live in fear, and I'm turning away from it. And Pastor Stephen said, he said, really? He said, let's see. I remember when I was ordained, there's a picture in my office about that, and he just reminded me of that. So, you're not going to be a pastor. Is that right? Just the way he said it was unbelievable. Paul says to him, listen, God hasn't given this to you. This is from the old sin nature. This is from the enemy. This is from the world. God doesn't give you fear. Perfect love does what? Cast fear out the door. God has a provision for us. No matter what you and I are facing in life, God has a what? You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, I'm not so sure it's God's plan, so there's no provision if it's not God's plan. Listen, God loves you. There's always a provision. Hello? If there was no provision, well, you have the Holy Spirit, don't you? Can the Holy Spirit shed the love of God abroad in my heart? Yes, there's a provision from God. I'm leaving, Timothy, you're in charge. And Timothy might be what we call today a mama's boy. I mean, his father was a Greek. He had no saved father. I used to hear people say things about that, you know. Well, you know, if your mother's saved and your father's not, it's going to be very difficult for you in Christianity. Oh, really? Well, tell Timothy that. Tell Paul that as he made Timothy the heir apparent to his ministry. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, Timothy. He has a provision for you. You can lead. You can preach. You can evangelize. You can disciple people. You can read the Bible. You can understand the Bible. You can teach the Bible. You can evangelize lost people. You can pray. Are you with me? Yes. This is for all of us. God has given us a provision. The devil says, don't try that because you don't know whether you got anything to go with it or whether God's going to be behind it. You know what I think too? God's behind my mistakes. Oh, yeah. I fall on my face, he picks me up. He's not for the mistake and he doesn't cause me to sin. But when I do, what's God's provision for me when I sin? And you. Mercy. Hallelujah. What? Mercy. God has a provision for sin. God has a provision for weakness. It's called, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. God has a provision for my unbelief. You know what it is? His faith. I don't walk around telling people about my faith because I don't have any. I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is Galatians 2:20, Philippians 3:9, Habakkuk 2:1 through 4. It's God's faith. God has a provision. God has a provision for when I'm angry. His meekness. God has a provision for when I'm proud. His humility. God has a provision when I'm confused. His peace. Are you listening? God provides. And yet, do I want to run in different directions looking for provisions? Can you help? 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 Psychiatrist, can you help? Psychologist, can you help? Doctor, can you help? Friend, can you help? Mama, can you help? Daddy, can you help? And people mean well, nothing wrong with that. But what about God himself? Amen? What about God being a provider? You know, we started the ministry in Africa in 1986. Did I ever imagine in my life that there would be 278 churches in 25 countries today with 16,500 people coming to church in greater grace? Who did that? God did that. Are you with me? God provided. Last 3 days, I got $89,000 in gifts for Africa. I don't even know where they came from. Nothing from in the church. Outsiders. So you're free. No, it's amazing. Outsiders, one guy sent me $50,000. He's not even in the church. He's not even in America. God what? Provides. God provides. You just start the thing and God will come in and take care of it. Right, Georgie Hayes? Amen. God provides. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you a church. He gave you the Bible. God, what? He provides. I love Psalm 78, verse 19. It says the children of Israel spake against God. Interesting. They spoke against God. They tempted God and they limited God. Three things they did. Spoke against him, tempted him, and limited. What was the statement that is in front of those three things? Here's what they had. They had a question. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? See, those questions can be dangerous because those questions are filled with unbelief in God's provision. I don't know. You think God can do it? I don't know. You think we could have a church in Baltimore? I don't know. You think we can God send us into all the world? Speaking against God. Limiting God. Are you with me? Tempting God. Can God heal? Ooh, there was not a resounding yes on that. Yes, God. Yes, God. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?
Yes.
Do some calculations tonight when you go home with a calculator. Three meals a day, right? For 3 million people for 40 years. A calculator can't even do it. It's thousands and hundreds of thousands of meals. God's got 3 million people in the wilderness, and he's going to have to feed them for 40 years. Oh, my God. Can God fix my brakes on my car? I don't know. Can God heal me? Can God this and can God that? You can can God to death if you're not careful. I don't want to say God can God. I say God can. And God will. Hallelujah. I walk around with the, I hate question marks. You know, I don't even like how it looks. Like I've never, since I was 4 years old, I hated those things. It's like, what's this anyway with a dot below it? And I never put the dot there because I didn't like them. I didn't like them at all. I liked period, colon. Okay, comma, exclamation point. Not, I don't know. I don't know. Can God do that? Can God touch? Can God heal? Can God help? Can God give me a husband? Can God give me a wife? Can God give us children? Who's going to raise the children? You know what it's like in this world today? Shut up. Stop talking like that. Because it brings that question in. And we just say, God knows. That's what they say in Haiti all the time. I asked them the other day, am I coming to Haiti this year? They said, God knows. They said, just pray there's no revolutions, no earthquakes, and no hurricanes. I said, that's all? That's nothing. Earthquakes, revolutions, and hurricanes. It's no big deal. God provides, amen? He provides a table in the wilderness. You know, I read 2 Samuel chapter 9 today, and it's all about Mephibosheth. And look at Mephibosheth. Number one, his name means lame shame. How'd you like to be named that? What's his name? Well, we just named him lame shame. He's in Lodebar outside of the promised land. Lodebar means the place of no pasture. He's lame shame in the place of no pasture. Outside the promised land. And David says this, is there yet any left of the house of Saul that I can bring loving kindness to? And Ziba says, yes, there's one. His name is Mephibosheth. He's the grandson of your enemy, Saul. He goes, go get him. And he says to Mephibosheth, and we're all like Mephibosheth, he comes lame in the presence of David. He's a mess physically. He's a physical mess. He's poor. He's been backslidden outside the nation. And David says this, you're going to be a king's son and eat at the king's table forever. Wow. You got a provision from God, even if you're a lame shame, a sinner, a backslider, and you go the other way. God says, come. You're my son. This my son was lost, but now he's found. It's a provision for Mephibosheth. And King David, I like it, and it says this seven times in 2 Samuel 9. Seven times it says this. And the king said, 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 and the king said. Seven times. All I need to do is listen to what the king says. I'm insecure. The king didn't say that. I don't have any money. The king didn't say that. I don't know if we're going to make it in Christianity. The king didn't say that. You said it. Or the devil, or the world system, or carnal believers. I know what the king said about us. Amen? It doesn't matter what it looks like externally by sight. God is a provider. Where can we find enough to feed all these people in John 6? Well, we have this little boy here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I think he's the only one that believed. That little boy. God took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, lifted it up to heaven, gave it to his father, and 5,000 people were fed because it multiplied. Was that a provision from God? Huh? Did he also use a little boy? So God wants to use us to bring the 5 and 2 to him so he can multiply it. God provides. God provides. He provided for those 11 for 3.5 years as they walk with him. God is a provider. Elijah had a provision from God. He was under attack from this king and that king, from Ahab and Jezebel. And God provided for him every step of the way. It's amazing. God provided for him. God provided for Elisha. God provided for even a backslidden Samson. God is a provider. And he provides spiritually, personally, practically, in every area of our lives. But there's a devil with his demons that would like to convince you and me otherwise. Where's God? Why? Because it didn't happen in your timing? Where's God? Where's God's provision? Well, God's got a provision, and it's his plan and how it comes and when it comes. But I trust him. Amen? Trusting in the provision of God and not trying to provide for myself. We're very energetic and we're very disciplined and we're hardworking, but we've got to be careful because God says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. This is what God does. We've got orphans that are 2 orphans that came to the ministry in Uganda. They were raised in Bible school. They got married. He got ordained, and they're missionaries in Chad. Country of Chad. How does that happen? What? God provides. Are you listening? God can keep you awake in church. by using my loud voice. Wake you up. Huh? Yeah, it's good. My mother always told me, you're so loud. I was 4 years old. She said, would you stop? People can hear you down the street. I said, that's because I want them to hear me. I don't know what's wrong. My wife, I don't know what's wrong. What's wrong? I don't know what's really wrong here. I think it's bad ears. Can God provide healing? Yeah, but maybe he wants me to be loud so he keeps them the way they are. God's a provision for you. Heaven awaits you, amen? Is heaven a provision from God? Well, certainly after living down here for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, you're going to really believe that when you get there. I go to prepare you a place. I have a provision for you eternally. Can you imagine a heavenly city of Revelation 21 and 22, streets of gold, diamonds, all kinds of precious stones, no sin nature, no politics, no Republicans or Democrats or independents, huh? No police, no rent, hallelujah, no mortgages, no paying for food, nothing, right? No medical bills. Hallelujah. You won't even have to buy clothes. Because God is going to provide for us forever. Hallelujah. He's going to provide for you and I and millions of believers who are born again. God is my Yahweh Jireh. God who provides. And don't let your flesh, the devil, or people, or even Christians that are carnal tell you any differently. God's your provision. And he has made a covenant to provide for you your whole life. He even was providing when you were not saved. So you would make it to the day that you got saved. Hello? He provided protection. Amen. One time a guy put a gun to my head and he says, I hate Christians and shut up about Jesus or I'm going to put a bullet through your head. I said, I don't care. I said, so you go to jail for sending me to heaven. You're stupid. He said, you're right. That is kind of stupid, isn't it? I said, why don't you just let Christ be your Savior? And he started to cry. God what? God provides. God provides. I believe that. Don't sit there moping like, oh, yeah, to provide for you, but you don't know my electricity bill. Oh, come on, plug your finger into a socket. Light yourself up and you won't need any lamps. God provides. God provides for Pastor Dan Dunbar, right? He provides for you in Korea. He provides for our Asian ministries. We talk to them every week. He provides for 159 churches coming out of Mumbai. He provides for 79 churches in Bangalore. He provides for 48 or 50 churches in Nepal. He provides for the churches of South America in 8 countries. He provides for us in Baltimore. He provides for us in Africa, Europe, Eastern Europe, Russia. He is my and your Yahweh Jireh. Hallelujah. Believe it tonight. Don't go out of here thinking anything different. As soon as we say amen, all of a sudden other thoughts start to come and people start to talk. You know, talking about, who cares about the ravens? Ravens fed Elijah. God provided for Elijah with ravens fed him. The ravens fed him. I wish they'd feed me. Ravens fed him. Not just entertainment by watching their team. I like football a little bit. But they provide for me. They should send me a check just for praying for them. I don't know if I do or not. So tonight, let's believe that God is my Yahweh Jireh. Amen? Amen? Father, thank you tonight. Can we have the music group come up? And I want you to do the song you did prior to the last one. I can't remember what it was. Are you still here? Are they still here? Would they provide me some help? There was a song they did before the last song they did. I can't remember what it was now. Anybody remember? Above All. Yeah, Above All. Above All. That's what I like you to provide that song. So let's pray. Lift your hands to God. Say, thank you, Jesus. You are my provision. You paid for my sins. You set me free. You gave me redemption. reconciliation, propitiation, satisfying the righteousness of God. You gave me the Holy Spirit. Will he not freely with him give you all things? Romans 8:32. With him, he'll give you freely all things. Thank you for the provision of God. If you're here or you're here tonight or you're watching on the internet and you're not born again, God provides the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's freely. It's not based upon anything you can do. Salvation is a free gift. Say, Jesus, save me tonight. Thank you for being my provision. You took care of 3 million people for 40 years. Little old me. You got to be kidding me. Little old me, and I'm worried. God provides. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who provides. He provides. He does it personally. He does it practically. He does it eternally. He does it daily. God, our provision. Okay, let's stand as we close. We'll have a wrap right in here tonight on God providing. Can they come up and do that song? Are you ready? I have to leave first. I'm not leaving.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom.
Yes, God. Thank you, God.
You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known.
Praise the Lord. Lift your hands to Jesus. Thank him tonight. He's your provider. Yesterday, today, and forever.
There's no way to measure what you're worth.
Yes, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thought of me.